Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Book of Luke. Chapter 4 opens, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So the story before us is about Jesus and temptation. Temptation is a lure to do wrong, a trap that makes evil look good. It's the delicious bait that conceals a sharp hook, or the tasty morsel of cheese on a deadly mousetrap. Temptation is that last moment of pleasure before the trap breaks your neck. Now, the temptation itself is not the sin. It's all about how you respond to it. So let's see how Jesus responds here in Luke 4. Jesus fasts for 40 days in the desert, and the devil attacks him with three temptations, just three. And if you look carefully, you'll see that these three represent the devil's entire playbook when it comes to temptation. 1 John 2 sums them up this way: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the same three temptations that took down Eve in the Garden of Eden. The first temptation comes for Jesus in verse 3. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." This one is the lust of the flesh. When the devil tells you that you need something to be satisfied, and you won't be happy until you get it, he's preying on your flesh. When you crave a food, a feeling, or a fix, whether it's drugs or porn or even something that seems harmless, whatever addiction tempts you to put your physical needs before your spiritual devotion, that's the lust of the flesh. When you start to believe you can't be happy without it, watch out. So how should you respond? Check out verse 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Notice that Jesus responds by quoting Scripture. He's quoting Deuteronomy, and the rest of that verse says that man shall live on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And that's exactly what Jesus uses to survive temptation, God's word. He does battle with the sword of the Spirit. If you want a ready defense against temptation, memorize Scripture. A Bible left on your shelf will do you about as much good as a sword that's never been unsheathed. Learn how to use it well before the battle hits. And consider the verse, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on God's word." Temptation hits. My flesh wants that thing. But I need God's word. That's where I'll find life. God created the world. And the same breath that breathed life into Adam still breathes life into the Scriptures that we read. Sometimes I like to think of the Bible like those little healing fairies in classic Zelda that restore life. Well, the next temptation comes at verse 5. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." This one is the lust of the eyes. The devil offers Jesus his heart's desire, lets him see it right in front of him. Remember, the kingdoms of the world are what Jesus came for. God's great plan is to establish Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the devil offers it to him the easy way. No pain, no death on a cross. Just worship the devil, and it's all yours. Verse 8. Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." When you're tempted with the lust of the eyes, when you see what you want for the taking, remember, you serve God before any other, and you will do things his way, not the easy way. Verse 9 and temptation number 3. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Temptation 3 is the pride of life. When you find yourself sitting high and mighty, and you think you could do anything, God will catch you. You're too big to fail. He has to catch you. And for this one, the devil even quotes the Bible. See right here. He'll forgive you. Just jump. Danger. Your pride is the devil's weapon, not yours. Pride makes you stupid and dangerous. And notice how the devil says again, if you are the Son of God. Temptation is often a challenge to your identity, to prove who you are. Don't bite that bait. So in verse 12, Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil stokes my pride and tells me to jump into something foolish, I remember, my life doesn't belong to me. I am only a steward, and I don't need to prove who I am. I am His. God gave me this life, and it is not for me to put God to the test. I trust Him. I don't test Him. The strongest defense against pride is humility. And just like that, the devil leaves until an opportune time. So where does that leave us? We face temptation. What do we do? I think it's pretty simple, really. Do what Jesus did. Speak God's word. Literally, memorize it and say it when temptation hits. With my old youth group, I used to have them take 3 index cards. On one side, write lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Then on the back of each card, write the verse that Jesus quoted in response. Keep them in your pocket, and when temptation hits, pull out the cards. Figure out which temptation it is and speak the verse. Speak it to yourself. Speak it to the devil tempting you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, Jesus recovers and heads back to his hometown in Nazareth. While he's there on the Sabbath day, he enters the synagogue. He unrolls the scroll of Isaiah and reads one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. At verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That amazing passage is a description of Jesus' ministry. It's His work, His calling. He preaches good news to the poor. He proclaims freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the oppressed, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. What a passage! And for one long dramatic pause, every eye in the synagogue is fastened on Jesus. Do you mean it? Is it real? Verse 21, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now the people of Jesus' hometown speak well of Him. And they love the graciousness of His words. But they're having trouble believing that a kid they knew growing up could be all that. Any Christian who's ever tried to share Christ with their family knows what this is like. So Jesus moves on in verse 31. Then He went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath He taught the people. They were amazed at His teaching, because His words had authority. Authority is a key word in Luke's gospel. Jesus taught not just with eloquence or insight, but with authority. Jesus' message was not simply a wise man teaching a philosophy or idea. He was and is the Eternal One, speaking truth and proving His authority to proclaim it by the power of His words, over demons, over illness, over nature itself. When He demonstrated the power and authority of His word, people got excited about the healing and miracles, and they begged Him to stay. But watch His words in verse 43. But He said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. The people wanted miracles, but Jesus was sent to preach. To preach the good news of God's kingdom. That's the heart of His ministry. Preaching and inviting people to join the kingdom of God, to invite you to be a citizen of God's kingdom, where God is king. Read Luke 4 today, and as you read God's word, remember that it has authority over temptation, over doubters, over demons, over everything that comes against you, and over your life. And I'll meet you back here in chapter 5.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.